Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve.
So, how you feeling? Probably most of us have a lot on our minds. Life is a bit crazy. Probably always, but like especially now. You have all these thoughts, right? If you have kids, school started, but they're not in school, they're at home. And some of you are married, but some of you are not married. What if you never get married? Have you ever thought of that? Like, what if you're single for the rest of your life? Or what if you get married and you wish you were single? Or what if you get married and then later you meet someone you wish you could marry, but you can't marry them because you're already married? Or what if the person you were supposed to marry married someone else because you didn't notice it when they liked your post on Instagram? Or what if you marry the wrong person? Doesn't that mean you have the wrong kids? Or what if you marry the right person, have the right kids, but live in the wrong city? Or what if you marry the right person, have the right kids, live in the right city, but you send your kids to the wrong school? Or what if they go to the right school, but you gave them the wrong name? So they go to the right school, but they get made fun of because the name you gave them. Why would you do that? Life is hard enough with just a normal name. Or what if you have the right spouse, the right kids, right city, right school, but the wrong career? What are you supposed to do now? You can't quit. Do you know what kind of responsibilities you have? You've got a house payment and health insurance and car insurance and student loans and a coffee habit you have to support and your kids' braces that you have to pay for. If you can't pay for your kids' braces, then they'll end up marrying the wrong person and they'll have the wrong kids and then you'll have the wrong grandkids, and that is an awkward conversation to have with your grandkids. You're actually not the grandkids I was hoping for. Sorry. But you can't think about any of that right now because you have all kinds of emails you need to respond to and text messages you're behind on. Your mom texted, you still haven't replied. She's your mom. Reply to her text. And you've got bills that need to be paid. Why haven't you set an automatic payment? It's 2020 and you're putting checks in the mail like you're a caveman from 2010. What's wrong with you? And what about your retirement plan? How's that going? Man, you'd be a millionaire by now if you just saved the money from your daily coffee habit. But it's too late now, so you might as well get a grande double shot. You're gonna need the caffeine because you will be working for the rest of your life. So how you feeling? Maybe a little stressed, maybe a lot stressed. And I think stress is kind of an epidemic in our culture. There's never been a time in history when people have been more anxious than here and now. Experts call our time the age of anxiety. They tell us that 62% of college students say that they feel overwhelming anxiety, that over 75% of hospital visits are thought to be stress and anxiety related. We spend about a trillion dollars a year treating anxiety problems in our culture. And check this out, according to the National Center for Health, in July of 2019, 8.2% of adults showed signs of having an anxiety disorder. In July of 2020, 36% of adults showed signs of having an anxiety disorder. Wow. Well, in our series, Emotional, we're talking about emotions, right? And we're talking about how to deal with our feelings. We've said that maturity, spiritual maturity, is built on a foundation of emotional maturity. But many of us don't know what to do with our emotions. We may deny them. We may let them take us to the wrong place. We've talked about how emotion literally means to move. Emotions are like vehicles. They take us somewhere, but we get to choose where they take us. But we don't always. Sometimes we just go with the flow, and that is never a winning plan. So how do we deal with our feelings? How do we win with our emotions? How do we deal with our feelings in a healthy way that helps us to grow? How can we invite God into our emotions so they take us in the right direction? In this series, we're looking at the writings of a guy in the Bible named David. David wrote many of the Psalms in the Bible. And the Psalms are songs, prayers written to God. And mostly they're about just real raw emotions. And today we want to talk about stress, anxiety. And the question is, where will anxiety lead you? Where will it take you? And in Psalm 55, we're going to see David be very intentional with this. We're going to see how he navigates the emotion of anxiety. I want to point out six shifts David makes in his thinking, in his approach. And there are six shifts I think we need to make. Okay? Shift one, from competent to crying out. We all want to be competent, right? I got this. I don't need help. But we need to be humble enough to admit, I don't got this. I need to cry out for help. David did that. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 55, verses 1 and 2. Listen to my prayer, O God. Do not ignore my cry for help. Please listen and answer me, for I am overwhelmed by my troubles. David says he's overwhelmed by troubles. He's crying out to God. And did you notice how honest he is about feeling anxious and overwhelmed? You may have grown up learning that feeling anxious or overwhelmed was not okay. It might be you had a parent who taught you that expressing feelings was weak. Or you grew up in a church that made it seem like emotions weren't spiritual. No. David is vulnerable in his prayer to God. He tells God how he really feels. And I wonder if that was especially hard for David, because David had a certain reputation. He was known for having no fear. There was this time when everyone was stressed out by this giant of a man, Goliath. But David rolls on the scene and he is not afraid. He just marches out to Goliath. Bro, I'm gonna cut your head off. Goliath's like, we're doing this? And David's like, oh, we're doing this. And David does it. And it would have been easy for him to just, for the rest of his life, be the tough guy.
Do you remember that one time when everyone was shouting my name and I used my strength to read my blouse?
Nacho Libre. David could have acted like the tough guy for the rest of his life, but David was courageous, not just in facing a giant, but in being honest about his anxiety. Maybe you need to be courageous like that. Listen, there is no weakness in feeling anxious. There is no shame in feeling stressed out. But when you feel overwhelmed, cry out, be honest with God like David did. I am overwhelmed by my troubles. Overwhelmed meaning, I can't do this anymore. I can't carry this weight anymore. Overwhelmed meaning, I'm not brave enough, not wise enough, not strong enough. Listen, the worst thing you can say, I believe the weakest thing you can say is, I got this. I don't need help. The courageous thing, the strong thing is to say, God, help. I am overwhelmed. Do not ignore my cry. Rescue me. It is not strong, not courageous to go through life pretending that you feel a certain way you don't really feel. David says to God, listen to my cries for help. The first shift is from competent to crying out. Shift two is from generic to specific. What is David crying out about? Well, we don't know. He hasn't said. But as he continues to pray, watch how he shifts from generic to specific. He prays in Psalm 55, verses 3 through 5. My enemies shout at me, making loud and wicked threats. They bring trouble on me and angrily hunt me down. My heart pounds in my chest. The terror of death assaults me. fear and trembling overwhelm me, and I can't stop shaking. Okay, now we know. David is specific about what he's going through, about what's causing him anxiety. There's more. David tells God about a friend who betrayed him in verses 20 and 21. He says, "As for my companion, he betrayed his friends. He broke his promises. His words are as smooth as butter, but his heart is war. His words are like as soothing as lotion, but underneath are daggers." Do you see how, as he prays, David makes a shift from the generic to the specific? And I think that's really important. We need to pray specifically. And I hope you know God has invited you to. Check out these verses. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Man, God cares about you, and he invites you to specifically bring to him whatever it is that's making you anxious. If it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. Here's another invitation from God, Philippians chapter 4. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, which just means asking, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds. How do you have peace? You pray about everything. Specifically, every little thing. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. If you're worried about your marriage, pray about it. If you're worried about a decision you have to make, pray about it. If you're worried about whether you'll be able to pay rent, pray about it. You can, because if it's on your mind, it's on God's heart. And if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. We need to make this shift from generic to specific. I think sometimes we pray too generically. God, I'm anxious. I'm really stressed out. God, I feel overwhelmed. And I wonder if that just makes us more anxious. Like we become anxious about our anxiety. You know what I mean? I feel overwhelmed, and then I start feeling overwhelmed about feeling overwhelmed. So I started out today by asking, how are you feeling? If the answer was stressed, anxious, overwhelmed, okay, what exactly has you feeling that way? Whatever it is, pray specifically about that. With David, it was a person. That was what had him overwhelmed. Maybe for you, it's a person, okay? What is it about that person that creates anxiety for you? Pray specifically. Maybe you have a friend who has pretty much ghosted you. You don't understand. Or it may be a person who you want to feel a certain way about you. You want them to have feelings they don't have, and it's stressing you out. You have all these what if questions. What if she never feels that way? What if he never says it? What if he never asks? What if she cheats? Pray about it. Might be your kid. If you could just control your kid, you know, control their decisions, their friendships, their fashion choices, but we can't control. And we have those what if questions. What if they can't come back from this one? What if they don't turn things around? What if they marry the person they're dating? What if they never come back home? What if they never leave home? Pray about it specifically. The second shift is from generic to specific. Shift three is from my way to God's way, from my way to God's way. So David is telling God what he wants to do, how he wants to deal with his anxiety. Let's pick it back up. Psalm 55, verses 6 through 8. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, then I would fly away and rest. I would fly far away to the quiet of the wilderness. How quickly I would escape far from this wild storm of hatred. And can you relate? Have you ever wanted to just get away? I know, man, I have been especially feeling that way during these last months, stuck at home. It's like, I just want to fly away. I'm going to get out of here. I think we can relate to what David is thinking. He has problems, stress, anxiety, and he just wants to run. But he knows that his way is not the right way. There's a right way to deal with our feelings. Running is not it. And so look what David does. The right way is to invite God into our feelings. And that's what he does. Next verse is down in verses 16 and 17. He says, "But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me. Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice." He invites God into his stress, into his anxiety. He's like, "God, my way is to run, but I'm calling on you. I want to do this your way." I wonder what your way of dealing with stress is. You have a way, right? It might be to run. It might be to fight. It might be to overcome when you're feeling overwhelmed. You have a way, but would you consider shifting from your way to God's way? Well, what's God's way? Well, I guess it depends on your situation. I'm not going to prescribe a way for you to deal with your specific stress. I'm going to ask you if you're willing to pray and surrender the situation to Him. Are you willing to pray specifically and then ask God, "What do you want me to do?" That's the third shift. It's from my way to God's way. Shift number four is from intermittent to invariable. You know what I mean by intermittent? You do, because of windshield wipers. Well, that's not really something we get a lot of here, is rain. But maybe you moved to Las Vegas from somewhere where it does rain. Or maybe you're watching online from somewhere outside of Las Vegas where you actually get rain. And when it rains and you have your windshield wiper set on intermittent, it's like, whoosh, whoosh, right? And you're like, "Oh, I forgot I had them on," because it's like, whoosh, you know, there's a long time in between. Intermittent means once in a while. And invariable, that's a shift, right? Intermittent to invariable. Invariable means more than once in a while, like a lot, like almost all the time. We tend to pray about things just when we're feeling desperate, maybe even just one time. But look again at what David wrote in Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17. Remember, he said, "But I will call on God, and the Lord will rescue me." He says, "Morning, noon, and night, I cry out in my distress, and the Lord hears my voice." David's like, my strategy for stress is, my way was running. You know, I wish I could fly away. But he says, my strategy that I'm going to do is God's way. And so my new strategy is this: praying morning, noon, and night. I love that. He's like, I am focused on God. That's how I start and end my day, and in between, day after day, I am focused on God and I am praying. That is not necessarily what we do, though, right? David did that. Not like sometimes in the morning, if you're anything like me, sometimes what we do in the morning, the first thing we do is we focus in on our anxiety. How? Well, we wake up, we pick up our phones, which is like right there where we slept, and we start like reading the news, or we start checking our work emails, and then I'm looking at my calendar and seeing all the things I have to get done today. And so the first 20 minutes of our day is being reminded of everything that's wrong in the world and everything in my life that's putting pressure on me. We can start our day by focusing on our anxiety. And then at night, well, we watch TV and we get in bed, and maybe we continue to look on our phone at social media. And so we end our day by reminding ourselves that everyone else's lives are filled with love and laughter, but it doesn't feel like mine is. Like, why am I the only one who feels this way? Why is everyone else's house so nicely decorated in their pictures? And why is no one else overweight? And we fall asleep focusing on our anxiety. So what if you took David's advice and focused on God morning, noon, and night? What if you started your day by maybe reading the Bible? And what if you ended your day by maybe praying? What if at noon you took a minute to recenter yourself, to focus on God again? Do you think that might alleviate some anxiety? I bet it would. Shift 4 is from intermittent to invariable. Shift 5 is from talking to God to talking to himself about God. That's what David did. We want to go from talking to God to talking to ourselves about God. This is good. Listen, this is good. It's important if you want to know the best way to deal with the feelings of stress. So we see David shift in this psalm from talking to God to talking to himself about God, which is actually really common in the Psalms. He starts off by being honest with God about his anxiety. He went from generic to specific, right? But then he starts being honest with God about who God is. It's like he stops talking to God about his anxiety and starts talking to his anxiety about God. He reminds himself of who God is and what God has done and what God will do. Listen to how he talks to himself about God in Psalm 55, verses 18 and 19. He ransomed me and keeps me safe from the battle waged against me. Though many still oppose me, God, who has ruled forever, will hear me and humble them. And he's telling himself truths about God. That's how you deal with your feelings. Because if we're not careful, we can pray in a way that actually makes us even more anxious. If our prayers are just listing all of our anxieties, that can just be a reminder of everything that's wrong. That's not what David does. That's not how, that is how he starts. But then there's this shift. He goes from talking to God to talking to himself about God, right? He's kind of like, hey, dummy, remember who God is. Remember what God has done. This situation is not too hard for him. You might be overwhelmed. He's not. He's got this. He's got you. You don't need to worry. You ever do that? You ever remind yourself of who God is and what God has done and what God will do? And that's what you do with stress. You talk to God, and then you talk to yourself about God. He's got this. He's got you. You don't need to worry. And that leads to the last shift, shift 6, which is from worry to worship. David starts out stressed because he has enemies against him. He's overwhelmed, but he prays very honestly, specifically. He asks God to jump in the driver's seat, and I'll scoot over here to the passenger side. And he prays morning, noon, and night. He reminds himself who God is, and he goes from worrying to worship. These psalms in the Bible, they're actually songs. They're prayers people prayed that were set to music and sang. And David is singing these words. He starts out with, remember he said, "Do not ignore my cry for help. I am overwhelmed by my troubles." And then look how he ends the psalm. He says, "Give your burdens to the Lord, and he will take care of you." Give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. Man, he is not worried anymore. He's worshiping. It's like as he prays and reminds himself of who God is, he can't help but praise God. And as he does, his worship drowns out his worry. Man, I don't know, but I don't think worship and worry can coexist. I don't think they can. It doesn't mean the problems all go away. It doesn't mean the anxiety goes away. But worship drowns out the worry. David says, actually David sings, give your burdens to the Lord and he will take care of you. And you can trust him. Give him your burdens. He will take care of you. Not give your burdens to God and he will solve all your problems. No, he says, God, give your burdens to God and he will take care of you. Trust him. Remember who he is, what he's done. And your worry will turn into worship. And that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pray and then we're going to worship God. It's an opportunity for us to put into practice what we're talking about. So let's pray. God, we come to you and we want to be honest about some of our anxiety that we feel. We don't want to just be generic with it and tell you we've got all these problems, but we want to be very specific, God, and tell you exactly what it is that has us feeling overwhelmed. And God, we want to learn a new way of life from you, that we can put our trust in you, that we can scoot over, give you the driver's seat, and ask you to take us where you want us to go. God, we know that you're a great God, and we may feel overwhelmed, but you are not. God, if it's on our minds, it's on your heart. If it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about. So we bring you our concerns because we know that you care for us. And God, might our worries be drowned out by our worship as we come to you right now and as we sing. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.